Well, we talked to Sal yesterday and maybe saw this coming with Bass. We talked about the possibilities last couple days. If he's not right, then you have the signing of Matt Prater. And now, I would say, not that surprisingly, we get the announcement that he goes to IR. So it's been a quiet, to put it one way, summer for him. He wasn't practicing very much, didn't play in two of the three preseason games, and he will not play on Sunday night. Sal Capaccio with us on this Football Friday, joining us on the West Her Hotline. How'd I do there, Sal? I mean, I doubt you were shocked by this.
I was a little shocked he went on injured reserve, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't know that that would happen. I thought that maybe there was just something bothering him, and the way it played out was interesting because he had the injury that he didn't practice for quite a bit of preseason and training camp, came back the last week of preseason, kicked pretty well against Tampa. He did miss a short field goal, but he was 5 for 5 before that. And then all of a sudden, and he practiced when we came back after that too. Like, there was a window there where he was practicing. There was nothing going on. And then suddenly he shows up on the injury report. He doesn't practice. They sign a kicker and you're like, ooh, something's going on. Did he aggravate something? So to fully go on IR, which is a minimum of 4 games, I was a bit surprised by that but now looking back at it, you could see that it was trending that way, of course.
Yeah, and they would have needed a roster spot for Prater, and this is one way to get it.
Right. We were talking yesterday, Sal. Like, I don't know if you were a part of the conversation at the time, but without, you know, moving Trey White to IR, if he were to miss this game, and he's listed as doubtful if not practicing all week, and if they weren't going to make a move with Bass, you'd be carrying two guys into your opener that just are not going to be playing for you, and that could be kind of cumbersome, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. So the Bills have not officially made any move to put Prater on the active roster. But yeah, I would think that's coming because even if you wanted to elevate him, you only get 3 times. You could do that. They could decide to elevate him, you know, 3 times and just maybe play it out here to see what happens. Maybe we can figure that out. And let's remember, I've said this before.
Vested veteran, right?
Vested veteran. He's an 18-year veteran. He's certainly vested right. Many times over, right?
Maybe they just elevate him this week, and then next week he wouldn't be guaranteed anymore, right? Is that how that works?
Exactly right, Bulldog. Let's keep that in mind. You're 100% right. You know, the Bills have had to pay some money here for injury replacement costs for guys, right? So maybe that matters. I'm just saying, to be on the lookout if that's the case. If you see that he's not signed to the 53, but he's elevated, that could very well be it, because this week he could be elevated, and then you don't have to guarantee his salary as a vested veteran. But then you wait till next week, and you still don't, because if he's on the 53 this week, you have to guarantee that salary for the year. So, yes, that's a reason why to do that. In the meantime, we'll see if the Bills do elevate anybody or use that roster spot, because now one is open with Tyler Bass on IR.
Man, the 3D chess that goes on with the practice squad these days, and IR, and designated to return, and all of it. There's a lot to know. Who knows, Sal? I guess we'll just determine this by the results. But he seems like a fine enough choice, Prater. I'm assuming he's healthy because he's getting this opportunity. He did not miss a kick last year in 4 games for Arizona before he got hurt. So you never know. But I'm guessing this is not a replacement for Bass that I would scoff at all.
No, I mean, listen, this is a position where in the league, you've seen a lot of guys at an older, older guys come in the league and do pretty well here, and veteran kickers. You know, I don't know what his leg is, his leg strength is right now. Let me see if he's, last year he was 1 for 1 from 50 yards or more. The year before that, he was 9 for 12 at the age of 39, right? I mean, so, you know, he's still got a bit
That's
of a strong,
solid.
He had a 62-yarder.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, you know, they probably, to me, this reads like, look, they want somebody who's understands, you know, you got some new kickoff rules, somebody who's a veteran here. You can seamlessly kind of onboard a little bit more when you're a veteran. So it makes sense, a guy like this. I just, you know, I wonder what would happen if the Bills are in a situation where they have to kick a long field goal, you know, critical moment. If they would elect to do that with this particular player at his age, or if they just would rather kind of make sure that they're just kind of buttoned up and, you know, they make sure they do all the right things on the shorter stuff.
He's got a 64, too, back when he kicked for Denver. That was in 2013, and it was Denver, but still.
Yeah, right.
Sure, that was pretty good.
Well, Sal, really, just to sort of restate the obvious here, I mean, you know, I'm sure you hear it plenty on the shows and that you're hosting and even the other shows when you're just listening or appearing with us, you know, the odd call every now and then last year and even this summer, I'm just worried about the kicker, I'm worried about Bass, and, you know, now we go from being worried about Bass to being worried about his 41-year-old replacement, I guess. You know, you can always choose to worry about the kicker, you know, because it's a big spot. You know, you expect a close game against a conference rival here that's very much your equal talent-wise, expectation-wise. So, you know, you got a game that's coming down to a 48-yard field goal with 4 seconds to go. You know, as critical as people have been of Bass, I think you'd rather have Bass in that spot than a guy that just got here. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
And listen, the Ravens are in a very opposite situation, right? They have had the veteran kicker for many, many years, Justin Tucker, and he's gone. And now they have a rookie. He will be starting his first and playing his first ever NFL game in Buffalo on Sunday night. Tyler Loop, who's out of Arizona. They drafted him. So they drafted a kicker in the, fifth round, I think it was? Sixth round, Tyler Loop. Hit some nice numbers at Arizona, but totally the opposite situation. If you're a Ravens fan, you're like, boy, we got a rookie kicker going into Buffalo on Sunday Night Football in week one, and I'm sure that's not the most easy feeling in the world.
Prater is 41, and Loop is 24. Steven Tyler Loop, by the way. You wonder.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I do, too.
No,
Mike,
I
saw somebody tweet out, and I'm guessing this would be correct. I didn't do the research myself. That when Matt Prater steps on the field for the Bills in a game, he'll be the oldest player to ever play for the Buffalo Bills.
By almost 3 years, even. Bill Munson.
Wow.
Bulldog had it. Bill Munson, quarterback in 79, was the, it still is, the record holder until Sunday, you would think. Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. So what do you make of Sean McDermott after, you know, Trey White misses Wednesday, Thursday, knew he would not practice today, but still didn't want to rule him out?
It's still trending. I mean, he's doubtful, right? So
doubtful.
I guess it's good to, you know, at least have that designation to talk about in plain view, which is I didn't think he'd play after missing two practices. But I do think it's interesting that they're not completely ruling him out. And my guess would be because, hey, he's a veteran and he takes care of his body. And if he's that close to maybe being a little bit, you know, healthy enough to play. But what does that mean? Even if Tre'Davious White is healthy enough to play, would you start him and play him a whole healthy amount of snaps? There's an 18-game season here. I'm sorry, 17-game season, 18 weeks you have to play here, you know, plus the playoffs. So you probably want to err on the side of caution, but I do find it interesting they haven't officially declared him out. And obviously, you know, I talked to Sean this morning. I asked him about Dorian Strong, and he was very quick to talk about both Strong and Jamarcus Ingram, as Sean does a lot because, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, put the focus on one player. But those are the two guys you're looking at most likely. We did talk about Ingram as well. And, you know, Dorian Strong is a guy that, as we've talked about earlier this week, comes in as a sixth-round pick, much like, interestingly enough, I was thinking about this today, Christian Benford and Kyrie Elam situation, right? And Elam was the first-round pick, but Benford beats him out. The Bills drafted Max Harrison in the first round. Here's Dorian Strong. Now, this one's an injury, but you might get Dorian Strong starting as the sixth-round pick over the first-round pick. So really interesting how all this could play out.
I think, too, like you both have brought up Patrick Ricard a couple of times here this week for the Ravens, and he'll miss the game. They made that official. So will tight end Isaiah Likely. And you would think, just at least on some kind of surface level, that affects Baltimore's game plan because you've got two big bodies, like a bully sort of game plan is tougher without your fullback and your, you know, second tight end. So the Ravens might be forced a little bit, I mean, not to be too dramatic, but that might be forced a little bit into more of a spread kind of game, and that lines up with the Bills missing, you know, their top two corners at one side, at least, I guess, with if I can
Harrison
call it that.
White. Yeah, right.
No doubt. I mean, I think Patrick Ricard is a massive loss. He's a massive human being, but he does so much for them in short yardage, and they really want to go heavy. They do that. But, man, the Isaiah Likely loss, I think he's just a really well-rounded tight end. Yes, he's a very good pass catcher. He's also a blocker they like to get in space. You know, this isn't the type of blocker playing tight end where he puts his hand down and just down blocks all the time, right? Like, Isaiah Likely is a guy they like to get out in space. They like to lead block a little bit with him sometimes. Like, there's some, there's an aspect of that part of the game that's going to be lost for the Baltimore Ravens. And then they can flex him out, and he could be a matchup problem. We've seen that. So, yeah, I think this is a really interesting situation for their offense as well. And you're right. They could wind up spreading him out. But honestly, if you're the Bills, right, would you rather have the – would you rather have the Ravens spread you out and you could bring Taron Johnson in and play some dime defense and, you know, have six or five or six defensive backs in the field? Or would you rather have the Ravens, you know, reduce down and go really heavy and then you take Taron Johnson off the field and you put somebody else on? I mean, yeah, you want to have you're always thinking, OK, we have a rookie, all right, if it's Dorian Strong. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's something the Bills would rather see and yep. force them to throw a little bit like that.
Well, I know I've referenced this Warren Sharp bit, and I know you saw it too, and yep. I think Warren even responded to your compliment about it. They were much more effective. Of course, they like to run it with this heavy package, two tight ends and that big 300-pound-plus fullback. But throwing it out of that, they're very efficient and effective too. They were one of the least effective and efficient teams in three wides. So, of course, that depends on what kind of personnel the Bills have got to counter that. But it doesn't sound to me like that's Baltimore's fastball, you know, it going spreading out. So hopefully that plays into the Bills' hands. One name to keep an eye on for practice squad elevations from Baltimore, they do have a 290-pound tight fullback on the practice squad, Lucas Scott.
They do.
So they have a guy that they could...
Is that big anymore?
I don't know how ready to plug him in to Ricard's workload they would be, but they've got a suitable replacement, I'd say, at least body type-wise, if they want to go that route on Sunday.
And I would say that, you know, he's been practicing, I'm sure, with them for quite a while because Ricard has been out for a few weeks.
Right.
So that's probably what they would do, Bulldog, and just say, all right, it's a one-for-one replacement, right? I mean, Bills lose Tre'Davious White, you put in Dorian Strong and Jamarcus Ingram. These are guys that have been practicing at that spot. So, hey, here you go. Go do your thing. That's probably what, you know, the Ravens would do. It is interesting to me that the Bills are playing the Ravens, and we have probably, in all the times they've played the Ravens, have had as little talk about Lamar Jackson as we've ever had. Right, I was just thinking about that today, which we've been talking so much about Likely, so much about Henry, so much about Patrick Ricard. And at least from my angle, maybe you guys have, like, I don't think we've talked a lot about Lamar Jackson, who obviously is a game changer and an elite quarterback in this league and all the things he can do.
For me, it's almost like the same thing applies to Allen, where you marvel at him. It's all just sort of known at this point what the two players are. And I've spent a lot of time talking about and thinking about, just like I always do with them, the whole story, you know, how they're linked in their ways and both in the Mahomes shadow still, at least in terms of team results. So they're two players who are sort of married and maybe will always be, unless one of them, you know, gets a couple of rings and sort of breaks free from the tier they're on. That's what I always think about. The fact that their NFL debuts came on the same field on the same day, both as backups in a blowout. And, like, the game was so out of hand in Baltimore that, you know, McDermott got to put Allen in. Why not? And Jackson did the same thing for the Ravens that day. And you have now two playoff meetings and the MVPs. There's just so much about them. There's not a lot left to say. I mean, I've got no time for anybody still left in the world who wants to tell me what Lamar Jackson isn't. You know, like, it's just...
It's all set. Yeah. Speaking from my end of things here, it's not because I'm overlooking him at all or taking it for granted. What I'm taking for granted is that he's great, and it'll be a really big challenge to contain him, and good luck if you can, you know? That's where I'm at. On Henry... Go ahead.
The reason I bring it up is this. Yeah, and I wasn't implying, like, we haven't given him enough due respect, but the reason why I bring it up is in the playoff game, they didn't have him run the ball much.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he didn't take it out. I remember being on the field going, boy, if he pulls that out, like, he's got room. Like, they have not done that yet. He had six runs. I'm looking at it now for 39 yards, and I think maybe only two were designed runs all night. The rest were him scrambling. And the reason I bring this up is because in that game, it wasn't part of the game plan, and I just wonder if that becomes much more of the game plan this time around.
Well, I always say with him how it should be. Like, the game they lost to Kansas City was the same thing. Like, he slid on the second play, and he had space, and just sort of maybe has an instinct to not do it. I don't know what that is, but, yeah, the Bills should want that.
Yeah.
The Bills should want him to, you know, not run, I guess.
Sal, how about the middle of the defensive line for the Bills, especially the new guys, Sanders and Walker specifically, and this matchup? Both Lamar Jackson and, of course, Derrick Henry. I know I read some quotes from McDermott talking about the unique challenge and just how they would not have experienced anything close to this playing college football last year.
Yeah. One of them was in the locker room this week and talking, and this is relayed to me by another reporter, and I apologize for not remembering, but saying like, hey, asking like, are these guys, Derrick Henry, really that tough to tackle? Is he really that big? Yeah. It was the response from his teammates, right? Which is, you're in for something you've never seen before. That's 100% right. And look, I really like what I've seen from Deion Walker. I like what I've seen from TJ Sanders. If it wasn't for how good Deion Walker has looked, maybe we'd be talking more about TJ Sanders, but I think Deion Walker has looked tremendous. This is different though. This is obviously, regular season action against guys that it matters to everybody here. And they're going to have their starters and their regular players. But the other part that really matters is now it's game planning. Now it's, okay, rookie, we got a couple of things for you. You think you see one thing, but you don't really see this. And look what happened last year on the first play of scrimmage in Baltimore. That's Ed Oliver who got wham blocked, right? I mean, he didn't see it coming. And this is now, they're going to have something in store for these rookies. So they're going to have to be able to kind of withstand all of that. Yes, I love what I've seen from them. And maybe we could see right away out of the gate these guys making an impact. Interesting, today on the Extra Point Show, Sean McDermott joined me. And he came right out and said, these guys got to play a lot. They're going to play a lot on Sunday night. So here we go. Put your big boy pants on and let's go.
One more name on the Ravens. Bulldog mentioned the practice squad guy. Charlie Kolar is their other tight end now with, you saw a little bit of him last year too, but with Likely out. What's funny about the Ravens, they draft two tight ends at a time, and the second one has been better every time. Like they drafted Hayden Hurst even before Jackson. And then it was Mark Andrews. And in 22, only like a dozen or so picks apart, they picked Kolar out of Iowa State. He was a good receiver as a tight end at Iowa State. And then they picked Likely, and Likely has had the better career so far. But Kolar, in fantasy, my fantasy friends like him, sort of as a late round, you know, long shot. Now he's going to get a chance here in this game. I don't know if he'll get targets. Before you go, Sal, what did you think of all the spitting last night?
I just think it's disgusting either way. I mean, I didn't see the Dak part of it until today when I got up.
Okay.
When I saw what Jalen Carter did, I just thought it was terrible and disgusting and, you know, no way he should be on a football field after that. I mean, at least for that game, we'll see what happens. I don't know. There's a lot of discourse on it. You say, I know that Dak spit, and then I guess it becomes almost like a judgment call. Like, was he spitting on the ground or at somebody? I don't think there's ever any situation where you should ever spit on another human being.
No. Listen, it's irrefutably true that Prescott was spitting, but he's spitting on the ground. Even if it's in the direction, if he's staring at Jalen Carter while spitting on the ground, it is absolutely not anywhere near the offense of what Carter did. It's just, I can't even believe that there's a debate going on out there. Oh, I shouldn't say I can't because we debate every asinine thing ever now, but that blows my mind. It's so, there is absolutely in my book one thing. You could walk up to me and put your middle finger right in my face, and I'm not going to take a swing at you. You walk up to me and spit on me, I'm swinging. Like, I'm sorry. That's it. Those are the rules. Like, you just do not do that.
Yeah.
Terrible. You know, I don't know if he's going to get suspended. I know everybody's calling for a suspension, but it was very interesting, the wording from some of the NFL insiders today, the national reporters, who multiple of them wrote something along the lines of, let's remember, he effectively missed a whole game anyway. I'm like, okay, someone's telling you that from the league to basically put it out there that they're not going to suspend him.
And they play the Chiefs next week, by the way.
Right.
What Prescott did is not a penalty.
Right.
And one of the NBC guys in all that weather delay said it's like a penalty against humanity or something like that, what Carter did. Words to that effect. So we're all on the same page there. Very good. Sal, should be a great weekend. Thanks for your time.
You got it. Thanks a lot, guys.
That's our dude, Sal Capaccio, on the West Her Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel. game day ready since 1922. More Football Friday talk next, 803-0550. The Bills will not have Tyler Bass, and they probably won't have Trey White Sunday night. What do you think? Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
You got to have a lot of pride in where you're from and what you stand for in life, and that's no different now in football and how we treat this stadium, how we treat our community, and we take a lot of pride in ourselves and where we're from and who we play for and how we play. So in particular, playing at home, we've created a culture and a standard, and it's important for us when we take the field anywhere, but in particular at home.
Sean McDermott, as the Bills embark on their final season in their current stadium, and they open it in a great fashion with the Baltimore Ravens and, you know, maybe the signature game of the opening week of the season in the NFL, Sunday Night Football. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, Football Friday on WGR, the Friday Drive at 5, brought to you by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com and by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com and by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sidelined with a sprain, strain, or break, get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express. One day last week when you were off, I was sort of struggling for ideas. And I thought, you know what? We could just sort of kick back and talk about our favorite times at the stadium. You know, it's a year for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of fun to do that. But, you know, your favorite moment at the stadium. Something else came up and I didn't do it. But when I was prepared for this. And I would say that my favorite moments, like a play or just the day itself at the stadium in my life, was an opener.
The Jet game in the sun.
Yeah.
That they lost in overtime on kick return. Yeah.
Yeah. Chad Morton.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that day. Season tickets for the first time. Had a girlfriend for the first time.
Yes. Maybe,
just about.
Yes.
And just like enjoying the day with her, and the touchdown to Molds on a fourth down late in the fourth quarter that tied that game was an incredible moment. They had like a fourth and 13 or something, and it was about a 30-yard touchdown right in front of me. The best. And so that game went to overtime, and they immediately lost. Like, just surreal to lose. They gave up two kickoff return touchdowns right that day to Chad Morton, one to start overtime. Come on. But I loved that day.
Yeah. I'm just chuckling because you've mentioned, I knew, that's why I jumped you on it. I knew you were going to mention that. And I haven't, any other time you've brought it up, that's how I knew you were going to mention it, because you've talked about that day before. It's never tripped the wire that it just tripped just now. That, because I remember that too. We weren't working together yet at that time. So I do remember you showing up to do a bit on pregame. I was early. I was like 8 to 10, and then maybe you were on it,
after that.
Yeah. And I remember you parking. I remember the car. I remember the girl.
She worked here.
Yeah. And then the rest of it, I was with a buddy of mine who worked here for a very short time. And I'm almost positive that his performance at the tailgate party that day, he didn't show up for work on Monday.
Okay.
And he got fired.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of what happened at the...
Tailgate? Everyone saw that he was imbibing heavily, and then he called in sick on Monday, and like that was it. He was pretty new, and he got canned.
Okay.
After that, I remember him also maybe falling asleep during the game, sitting in our seats. So yeah,
you were sitting with him.
Yeah, we went to the game together.
Okay.
Yeah, he's one of my oldest best friends, and if he's hearing this, he's not going to enjoy these memories. But I'm sorry, it just popped up. I've never thought about that sequence of events. Any one time that I've ever thought about that game when you've brought it up, but just for some reason, just I'm like, oh yeah, that was that day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yup. Good job, bud.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I got you an interview. You got the job, and then that's what you do. The hell. Anyway, yeah, they don't take my recommendations very seriously here. Ever
not anymore.
Then. It's a long time ago now. I mean, it is quite a long time ago. I've been here a long time.
23 years.
Jeez, wow.
Do you have something, if it isn't that, that comes right to mind as like your favorite day there? That's not the Winter Classic?
Right, right. I mean, or the Who concert. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of that. You know, that's why the David White game, the game that won the division for the Bills in 95, stands out to me. It's not some seminal game in Bills history to most fans from that era, even. It's like it's the end of they missed the playoffs in 94, but 95, they're back, and okay, they win the division, and David White makes his great play. But that's it. As far as like a memorable moment, you know, I don't. Because of what happened with my friend, I don't hold that Jet game in 02 in very high regard. It's not a great memory. I think I mostly have had it blacked out until now. Suddenly it just came storming into the room. Like, hey, dude, remember that? Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yuck. So, yeah, that's why a lot of my other memories sort of outrank football games, because I just did not get to the whole run, the beginning of the run. I'm not living here. By the time I'm back at the pizza place, and Sunday was a day that I was there. I mean, I was a manager, and it was a big day, so I was working most days. So I didn't get to a lot of it, you know? So I don't have a ton, you know, in the wheelhouse. So I feel sort of I don't know, a little lacking in that area. Yeah, for a year where there's going to be so many memories, I certainly want to hear stories from people, but I don't have a satchel full myself, really.
I've been to 3 playoff games, all in the Kelly years, and I can see where I was sitting for each one. They're all different, and I can remember how nervous I was, right? Like, the Bills, when I was a kid, weren't really in the playoffs, and then by 88, it would become more of a regular thing like it has now with Allen. And just being the Houston game in 88, like, oh, this has been such a great season. Please don't lose. Like, it's right. All on the line here. And then Miami in 90 and then Denver in 91, much the same. The Denver game was, memorable, but not fun. Because the whole Denver game was tense. What's wrong with them?
Right.
What happened? Who flipped the switch?
How do they have no points?
What happened? I was there for Kansas City the week before, too, actually. And that was, you know, a joyride of a game. Miami, same thing. Like, 90 Miami in the snow. Like, just please don't lose. This will be the worst. And I so love the 92 win in Miami because I know those fans would have felt that. You know, nothing personal, but.
Right, sure.
Just like. That had to be the worst. Here's a chance to go to the Super Bowl. It's Buffalo, your nemesis, and they go into your stadium and win handily.
Right, and Dan Marino hasn't been to the Super Bowl since his second year, which is now, what, 10 years ago at that point almost?
Almost, 84.
Nine, yeah.
So just like what a pit in your stomach from that, and, you know, that was our day. So, but those don't top like sort of being grown up and having that year, that day. The 02 was filled with great games. The Raiders game. They also lost, but just a shootout. It was a crazy season. Miami in the snow. San Diego with Breeze in the snow. Detroit. There were lots of great games. And there was the New England game, which was the worst. Fourth and stupid.
Right.
Right? That was the worst in the middle of that season. Right. Brady and Bledsoe for the first time.
I left that game after that play.
Good for you.
That was also for me. I wasn't working. It was the little pocket of my career here where I wasn't working after games because I was working mornings on this station at that time before I got partnered up with you. And so, but prior to that switch to me working mornings, which started after Music City Miracle, so early in 2000 is when that began. I was always post-game when I was on WBEN, and then when I got paired back up with you, I went back to post-game. So that little pocket in there, I didn't exactly have season tickets, but I had tickets to any game I wanted. Basically, I was there working and, like, you know, fine, sure. here's a pair.
Sure.
So I went to a ton of games in there, and, yeah, none of them stand out as, like, great memories in the stadium for me, because, you know, again, fourth and two, I'm leaving. I'm going home. This should be fresh and exciting for me. I'm still young enough to be excited about having an opportunity to go to these games regularly, which I'd never had before. And I'm gonna beat the traffic. I'm just gonna get the hell out of here.
That game was just shocking because it wasn't supposed to happen. You know, the Bills were supposed to have gotten the better guy. Although New England had won the Super Bowl, that was not everybody. Yeah. It was not unanimous, but it wasn't really supposed to happen that they would be just completely outclassed by Brady and Belichick. And it was a sign of things to come.
For sure.
It was their first head-to-head. I mean, Brady, again, the year before had beaten the Bills, so it wasn't his first game against the Bills. But it was Bledsoe's first against the Patriots. And what is it, 38-7 or 37-7?
Just bad.
Something like that? 37-6? It's in the ballpark. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Football Friday, picks at 6. We'll be right back. This is WGR.